This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. A lot of people suffer from low self-esteem. Saturday Night Live veteran Al Franken is the creator of the character Stuart Smalley, whose daily affirmations are meant to silence that inner voice that is always criticizing. Now Stuart is good enough and smart enough to have his own movie, which of course Al Franken wrote and stars in. It's called Stuart Saves His Family, and it introduces us to Stuart's dysfunctional family. Al Franken was part of the initial Saturday Night Live team and has worked with the show as a writer and performer for all but 5 of its 20 years. Stuart Smalley, as you may already know, is a caring nurturer, although not a licensed therapist, who dispenses advice on his cable TV show. He's a member of and even addicted to several 12-step programs.
Al-Anon, because, you know, for family members of alcoholics, thank you, Dad, for that one. My father is an active alcoholic, big stinking drunk, and you know, OA, because I'm powerless over food. That's Overeaters Anonymous. Debtors Anonymous, because I have a lot of money issues. For example, I have difficulty spending money on myself. I'm an anorexic spender. So, you know, that's kind of me. I think you got some idea.
Al Franken, who is Stuart based on?
Stuart is sort of, was an amalgam. I go to Al-Anon, which is for family members and friends of alcoholics. And he's sort of, I created him out of a number of people I've met in Al-Anon who take it quite seriously. And I take Al-Anon very seriously too, but I mean, who it becomes their entire life. And one thing I learned in Al-Anon, which is a pretty obvious thing, is that you can learn stuff from people who aren't necessarily smarter than you. I used to think that the only people you could learn from are, you know, people that are accredited as smarter than you, like professors and stuff, which is a pretty dumb idea. And I remember being in Al-Anon one day and hearing somebody share about, I shared about how hard it is for me to accept the idea of a higher power who is all-knowing and because of the Holocaust, because I was born in 1951 and I'm Jewish and I sort of had the Holocaust pounded into my head. And I shared at this meeting in a very heartfelt way about that. And the next person who stood up or who raised his hand said, I just want to thank the higher power for putting an apartment in my life because it gave me the courage to leave my lover.
Oh, yeah.
And, and then about a month later, so I thought this person was ridiculous, and about a month later, this person said something really struck me, and it was really made me understand something I hadn't understood before. And part of what it made me understand was that I could learn stuff from people who seem outwardly lame. So that's sort of why I created Stuart, someone who on the outside seems pretty lame, but you can actually learn something from him.
In the Stuart Smalley film, I won't give too much away here, but of course there's the question of will Stuart spend Christmas with his dysfunctional family or not? And since Passover is coming up. I thought I'd take this opportunity to ask you to reminisce about what Seders were like. Seder is the Passover dinner when you were young. I mean, for a lot of families, that's a time of like serious reflection. For some families, it's a time of serious bickering.
We would the bickering sort of won out. Mainly, the bickering was how quickly we'd go through the Seder.
Right, like how soon do you eat?
Yeah,
because the prayer part can take a long time. And
because my father was more devout than my mom.
Uh huh.
And so my mom wanted to hurry things along, and my dad wanted to take his time and tell the story of Passover. My dad talked like this, and she would go, "Joe, we don't need to hear that." "Oh, Phoebe." That was basically what our Seder was like and what every meal was like at our house.
Would you take sides?
I was the one who didn't take sides. I would stay out of it. I was the younger brother. and my brother would get involved in it. I sort of learned to, like, smooth things over. That's my role, was my role in the house.
So how would you smooth things over at the Seder?
By being funny.
Making jokes about
religion, about the afikoman.
About
the afikoman.
That's the matzah that you hide. It's part of
That's right. I can't remember what my... I wish I could remember my Seder material, but I can't.
Yeah, so you had to come to the Seder equipped with material, huh?
No, I would just, you know, it's that was just the role I played in my family. I was sort of the comedian who made sure that people weren't mad at each other. And my brother played the role of egging everybody on. and the rebel. He lives in France now. He lives in Paris, my brother. He tried to get as far away from our family as possible. But I'm close to him.
Al Franken is my guest, and he's been with Saturday Night Live for a long time, and is the creator of the Saturday Night Live character Stuart Smalley, who's now the focus, the center, the star of a new film called Stuart Smalley Saves His Family, written by Al Franken, who also stars in it, of course, as Stuart Smalley. I'd like to go back to Saturday Night Live and ask you about the very early days. I think you were there for the first show, is that right?
Yeah, I was there for the first 5 years. Uh-huh. Then I left for 5 years, and I've been back since 85.
What was the first really good sketch you wrote that got on the air?
I wrote a very black sketch, Tom and I wrote, about this guy. Remember this guy? What was his name? Dean Corliss or something, who had murdered... boys. He'd like murdered like 13 boys or something, and some young boy had helped him murder these boys. And so the sketch I wrote was the boy calling home to tell his parents that he had been arrested, and they were going, "We love you, son. We're behind you. What exactly? We know whatever you did. You know, we know you. You know what are you charged with? Well, it's kind of serious. Well, we love you, son." And so it sort of reveals itself that their child had participated in this grotesque, gruesome, awful, hideous thing. And through the whole sketch, they just keep repeating, "We love you, son. Whatever you did is okay with us, and we will get you the best lawyer." It was just, it was funny, and it was very, very black.
So how did it go over?
It went pretty well. It went pretty well.
Now, when you wrote a sketch, would you try to get, say, John Belushi or Dan Aykroyd or whoever behind the sketch before presenting it to Lorne Michaels?
Well, what we do is the show works the same, has worked the same for 20 years, which is you write it up for read-through. For example, today's Tuesday, and we have read-through tomorrow, Wednesday, so I'm going to be writing after I leave here. And a lot of times the performers just see the stuff at read-through. That's the first time they see it. Or you catch them maybe an hour before read-through and go over it with them.
So who's at read-through?
Read-through are all the writers and the performers, but also all the design people, the hair people, the makeup, the technical people, everyone who is involved in mounting any one of these sketches. So that everyone's heard what the sketch is and knows, you know, what they have to do. The prop people are there, so they know what props to get. The sound people and the music, you know, sound effects, and everybody's there. The censor's there.
Do you still have a censor?
Yeah, we still have a censor. And, we have a good relationship with our censor. We're a live TV show. We have to obey the censor. But they're pretty good. I think they allow some things on that shouldn't be on sometimes, and I think that they don't allow things on that should be on. But
have you had anything recently that wasn't allowed on that you liked?
I had something illegal killed last year that really made me mad.
What was it?
Well, I guess we can say it on the air. Last Easter, I went to Florida for vacation with my family, and I had to wait like 2.5 hours for a car at Alamo. So I wrote a sketch on the air, which was set at Alamo Rental Car with an E at the end. And it was just all about, the whole sketch was just me getting back at Alamo. And so in the sketch, they're going like, it was framed as if it was a commercial for Alamo, and so someone in the sketch goes, "This is a strange commercial for Alamo. Everyone's waiting forever for their cars. Could it be that one of the writers on Saturday Night Live actually had a terrible experience with Alamo?" And so that was the premise of the sketch. It was documented, or I could document that I did, in fact, wait 2.5 hours. So this is finally my revenge a year later.
Isn't that everybody's revenge fantasy, where when you finally get the car, you say, "Do you have any idea who I am and how I can get back at you for this?"
I did mention that, actually.
Did you?
Yeah.
That was really small of you, don't you think?
It was very petty. And it was really funny sketch, and they were just very worried about a big...
Wait. No, let's back up. So when you said, you said to them, "Do you know who I am?"
I didn't actually say that. I said, I am a writer. I just said something like, "I'm a writer for NBC, and I'm going to, this may be on TV next week." And they didn't seem very impressed.
That hurts, huh?
No, what hurt was the NBC legal not allowing me to do this thing. Boy, and I spent so much time. NBC consulted the guy who, I can't remember his name, the lawyer who defended the New York Times on the Pentagon Papers, got involved in this thing. Well, I mean, it got very big. It got like...
Would you have done it and just changed the name?
Well, it wouldn't have made any sense. I think the whole joke was that it was Alamo with an E. The whole joke was that I was actually just getting my revenge. So to change it to another rental car company, which, by the way, legal had the same suggestion for me. Just change it to some other name. American Car Rental. No, the whole idea is that it's Alamo, and...
So how is life at Saturday Night Live now different for you than it was when you started in 75?
Well, life is just different for me. I have two kids. I have a 14-year-old daughter and a 10-year-old son. And so I like to get home, When the show first started in 75, from 75 to 80, doing the show was like submarine duty. You just never left it on a show week. And now I leave. But I also believe I know how to do the show better. So I can use my time a little bit more efficiently. It's different in that the cast is much bigger. There's a lot of things about the show that are problems that people have pointed out, and that we actually are not in denial about at the show. We understand there are certain problems, and one of the problems is there's so many people in the cast that it is it almost makes it harder to write. For the show. Anyway, I tend to, but in many ways the show is very, very much the same. I will be there till 3 or 4 in the morning tonight, probably, writing stuff for a read through tomorrow. Damon Wayans, our host this week, and we'll have a read through. And in many ways, it's the same process. I miss having, like, Dan Aykroyd hosted our last show, and he was brilliant. And it was really brought back. I wrote a lot with Danny when he was on the show, and he's really the consummate live television performer. So I miss some of the old cast, but I think there's a lot of talent in our new cast. It's just there's so many of them that people don't really get a chance to do a lot on the show. So, and also it enables someone to get away with doing one or two things. And that's all they feel they have to do.
Al Franken of Saturday Night Live. He wrote and stars in a new movie about his character Stuart Smalley called Stuart Saves His Family. It opens April 12th. This is Fresh Air.